Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
From Ephesians 4, we read, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. Joining me today from her home base in Canada is adoptive mom and former foster mom, Ruby Johnston. Ruby and her husband, Lynn, are co-founders of Lamb International, a ministry that provides training, consultation, and program development to ensure safety, permanence, and well-being for children, youth, and families in North America and around the world. Welcome, Ruby.
Well, thank you, Sandra. I'm pleased to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Ruby, you and your husband, Lynn, have adopted children. You did foster care for many years. But how did you get started in this ministry of training churches and organizations and NGOs, orphanage staff, et cetera, in what is essentially trauma training?
Well, it's an interesting journey on our part. And, you know, the Lord says, you know, make your plans and he'll direct your steps. And certainly, we made plans, and our steps were a little different than the plan as he directed them. We started out actually doing leadership training in our church and then in a church in the United States in Arizona. And through that, that's how Lamb actually became founded by my sister and brother-in-law, and Lynn and myself. And through that journey, planning only to work in the United States and Canada, we received an invitation to Ukraine. And while there, of course, you can't keep a social worker out of the orphanages. So we went in and began to really see the trauma that kids were experiencing, the trauma that caregivers were experiencing. And having been a foster and adoptive mom, knowing that the children that we often had in our home were often demonstrating all kinds of different behaviors that we didn't understand. We didn't know what we didn't know at the time. Mm. And through that course of a time in Ukraine, really began to pray of how God would use our gifts and talents in some way that we could go back into maybe the orphanages in this section of Ukraine and help. And out of that, we started doing training that actually we had developed for the secular world for Child and Family Services in Canada, doing training in the orphanages, and the evidence of trauma just began to surface greater and greater. And it took us on a journey. And that journey was to find out what is available to help us to understand the trauma and the psychological impact it's had on these kids and on the caregivers that we were beginning to meet across Ukraine. And that journey took us to Dr. Bruce Perry's work and to the National Child Traumatic Stress Network and all the work that they've done, and, of course, TBRI from Texas Christian University and the work of Dr. Karen Purvis, and becoming, you know, a trauma educator out of TBRI. And walking that journey was really one that just threw us head first right into doing trauma-informed training for orphanages, starting in Ukraine and then expanding across the globe.
Wow, so you've been called to bring this training to the nations. In fact, the past 2 years, you've worked in 20 different countries, which is just amazing to me. You've worked in Nicaragua, Thailand, India, Cambodia, Botswana, South Africa, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Russia, Ukraine, just to name a few of those 20. So, Ruby, when you go in to do this training, what does consultation and training look like on the ground?
Well, every country is different, and there are so many requests coming in that we really we don't have the capacity to meet all of that. So it's really important that we discover a couple of things from the country where we're getting requests from, and then from that we can design what that looks like. The first thing that we're looking for is we're looking for an organization, a church, an NGO, an entity that's really solid and has been on the ground for a period of time that's really reaching out into the community and also into the country. And then the second thing we're really looking for is the indication of sustainability through their willingness to identify persons who can become trainers. And our goal then would be to go in and to look at the environment, assess the environment with them, get a picture of who are we together with LAM and with what you're doing, and then how can we develop your teams, your trainers, to be able to go forth and to carry out the knowledge and skills that we're presenting to the rest of the country. And we're looking for a willingness to do that. And then interestingly, we're also asking the countries that we agree to go into to make a commitment to us that they will report back, they'll actually conduct transfer of learning activities, and that as they do the training, that that will be evidence of their intent to create a sustainable knowledge and skill learning space. And if they do that, then we commit that we will go back and go deeper and deeper with them, continue bringing them new pieces of trauma-informed training or other evidence-based, competency-based curriculum in child welfare.
Mm. So let's talk a little bit more about your work in Ukraine. I know that's a country near and dear to my heart. Four of my children were born there. So I know you're still actively involved in ministry there as well. Can you share about that?
Well, it's interesting. Ukraine is near and dear to our hearts as well, because that's where God really called us to begin with in the global work that he's called us to do. We began to see very quickly there that as a small team, we couldn't reach the needs and the demand that began to surface through governments, churches, and NGOs there. So as a result, we registered an organization. It's called ILDC, which is the International Leadership and Development Center. And we have a hired staff of six people that are working to provide competency-based training throughout the country. And they've become really the go-to organization for best practice leadership management and child welfare trauma types of training. And we just come behind them, and we just continue to encourage and, of course, support them. And that's where we are in Ukraine at this point.
Wow. Well, as a mom who's adopted four children from orphanages in Ukraine, I can really value mm-hmm. and appreciate trauma training being brought to these organizations and orphanage staff and that kind of thing, because there's more damage can get done to a child in the orphanage, not just what they experienced before coming to the orphanage.
Yes, exactly. And what we see in Ukraine, which is really interesting, Sandra, is a real intensive commitment and an awareness of deinstitutionalizing. Mm. So Ukraine is growing and developing in their understanding of family-based care and how children do better in families than they do in orphanage care. They read the data, they know the data, the research that's out there of how damaging orphanages can be, and they've embraced it.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you've also worked extensively in Kyrgyzstan, correct?
Yes.
And
yes.
What is your work? What are you doing there?
Well, we started in Kyrgyzstan, you know, after Ukraine, as a result of a pastor asking us to go there and to do some leadership training in the church that he had started there in Kyrgyzstan, in Kazakhstan. And it didn't take very long for us to really begin to see that the child welfare system in Kyrgyzstan was far behind where even Ukraine was. And it just became a passion of ours to create a demonstration project to show them in a small community in which we were working that they could divert children from the streets to families instead of into orphanages. So we started a little family-based home and with a mom and a dad, and decided we could take up to eight to ten little girls, and our goal then was to find permanency for them. And over the course of the last couple of years, we've been able to find permanency for 17 of those girls, mm-hmm. two of which are older girls who have been adopted, which they said was impossible. So that's one demonstration project, and we still have that going, and we're really excited about it. The other is to demonstrate to the government and to those churches and NGOs the need for having transition programs for graduating orphans. In all of the former Soviet countries specifically, we see the research showing that two-thirds of the kids who graduate from orphanages are not successful, which means one-third are. And so those two-thirds end up being trafficked in mm-hmm. prostitution. They end up suiciding, being murdered, in prison, living on the streets, addicted to drugs, alcohol. And that really isn't okay. The church needs to, you know, just step forward and realize that it's not just the cute little ones that need our arms of love. These older, young adolescents that are moving into adulthood, they need a table that they can go to every year that knows they have a seat at that table, and that's a place they call home and family and connections. And so the demonstration project that we created for transitioning youth is to bring youth in to help them with their life skills, to get them connected to ongoing, lifelong connections, ideally family members that we can find, but certainly adults that they're connected to for the rest of their life. So it's a little demonstration project. We created a whole model that we are hoping that as it's shared with others, it'll be replicated and just be maybe an encouragement to others to do more for the graduating orphans.
And that's, I think that's an area that definitely gets overlooked, these kids that age out. And I just was speaking to a missionary friend of mine last night. I couldn't sleep last night because he actually is just home for a few months from Ukraine, works exclusively with orphans in Ukraine, having been an orphan himself before he was adopted by an American family. But he's there as a full-time missionary now. And, you know, the whole trafficking link to orphans is one of the things that disturbed me to no end when I first began to learn about it. And, you know, and like you called it a graduation. It just gets me that it's referred to as a graduation when kids graduate from the orphanage. But that's really a nice way of saying you've turned 16. See you later. You're out on your own with no life skills, no resources, no anything. And my friend actually told me last night, he recently was at one of these graduation ceremonies, and he said lined up outside the orphanage were these cars. And the girls had an option of getting in one of these cars and going with the person in the car who would promise them work and lots of money. Mm-hmm. And we know what that means. That means they're headed to being trafficked. And I couldn't even sleep because it's almost like I don't believe that there's the education in the orphanages with these older kids to warn them about this is what this means and this is what you're at risk to. So it's, I agree, it's an area that the church really needs to wake up and step into the lives of these kids before it's too late for them. And 16, none of us would want to see a 16-year-old here in the States or in Canada on the street. They're not ready to live on their own. They're not ready to navigate life. But the statistics are so grim for children in places like in Eastern Europe or anywhere where they're just aging out and on their own, and they're preyed upon by traffickers.
Exactly. Very vulnerable. We've experienced with a number of our youth that while they were living in the orphanage, some of our transition youth, one of the things they don't learn how to study. They don't learn really responsibility and tenacity. That their resiliency is so undermined with the way that they're really raised in the orphanage. So their readiness for adulthood is so compromised by all of this. And with some of the youth that we've been working with, we've just really, really watched them be so excited about being able to learn and to study. And all of our youth this year that are in our transition programs have passed their grades. We have pre-college and university kids, and they've all passed, and not all with really good grades, but they passed. Mm-hmm. And we've just really poured into them to say every year that you pass, every course that you pass, just strengthens you because you've learned to pass that course. And your resiliency is building, your strengths are building, your skills are building, and there is hope. And that little bit of hope is just, it's like a miracle. Mm. Can I tell you one story?
Yes, please.
Little boy. He came to us at just right out of the orphanage, and he'd been badly treated and incarcerated, and there are a lot of different things that happened to him. But when he came to us, his only hope was to work in the fields at about $4 a day, and to work for somebody else. That was his only dream, the only thing he had. And through the course of time, with our teams working with him, the family that's really been pouring into him from our transition home family, he has entered pre-university and he's passed his first year. And now he just completed a poster with my husband of what do you dream for in 10 years? What is your life going to look like? And he outlined that he wants to be a lawyer. He sees himself finishing pre-university, then university. And then in his picture, he had a car, and he explained to my husband that that car comes back to Jeremiah 29:11. That's our project in Kyrgyzstan. And he is a worker. He is a helper. He is a mentor back to the kids. And then he laughed, and he said, of course, I'll give everybody a reduced rate for any of their legal work that he's done. And he just went on. But to us, it was like this breakthrough, this just overflowing joy of being able to see this young man who believed he could only work in a field for $4 a day. And it's not about money, but being able to see that he could achieve something that was a dream of his, that he was able to dream, and that he also wanted to give back. Oh, it was precious.
Wow. I love that. They're able to dream and have hope for a future.
Exactly.
I love that. So I just want to remind our listeners that you are tuned into Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or global orphan care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is Ruby Johnston, co-founder of LAM International, a Christian ministry that provides training, consultation, and program development to ensure safety, permanence, and well-being for children, youth, and families. They're doing incredible work around the world. Ruby, you also serve on the leadership team for World Without Orphans, which is not an organization, but really a movement. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what World Without Orphans is?
Oh, I'd love to. World Without Orphans, it's just exciting, Sandra, because what it is a global movement, of course, as you said. And the shared vision is that children would become sons and daughters, that they'd be orphans no more. And the dream is that every child can grow up in a safe and a stable, nurturing family, and that every child would know their Heavenly Father. Mm. And so the mission then, of course, is to take the message forward and to mobilize the church for that purpose.
Oh,
it's
I love
really
it.
Exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I had the opportunity a while back to interview Ruslan Mailuta from World Without Orphans, and just so inspiring and so exciting about the work that World Without Orphans is doing. And you had shared with me that the trauma training piece fits into the work of World Without Orphans. Can you kind of explain the that part of it?
Yes, I'd love to. Essentially, World Without Orphans has three strategies that we really see that God has really tapped for this movement. And the one strategy is to activate, and that really is simply to get the local church and the all of those persons really engaged in becoming champions, committed to moving forward towards the children being in families. And so Activate is one strategy. The second one is to connect and bringing people together so that there's collaboration and cooperation and partnerships in countries and cross countries to the ideas and assistance and working together. And then the third one, which is to answer your question, strategy is to equip. And that is to ensure that those who are active, they're excited, they're out there talking about the movement and getting children into families have the skills, the ability, the knowledge to actually do the job. And this is so critically important because as we've traveled the globe and have had the opportunity to really bring the message of James 1:27 to the church and to see that mobilized and activated in the hearts of the people, the second question is how do we do this? And one of the biggest fears we have is that people will become very active and involved in bringing kids out of orphanages and into families without the knowledge and skills to really understand their trauma and to look at the behavior as having meaning and that behavior needs to be addressed differently than what may have been in their mindset of good and bad behavior, but that the behavior speaks of their pain. Mm-hmm. So our strategies, and we want the church and the caregivers and those who are activated and connected to be well-equipped with the evidence-based practice methodology, and that's just a fancy term for saying how to really manage and help kids be healthy and move towards their well-being with what is really effective and healthy. And so that's the equip piece of the World Without Orphans that we're really involved in, with the trauma training and other training, leadership management, and looking at other child welfare best practice initiatives.
Well, as an adoptive mom of kids from hard places, as the late Dr. Karen Purvis would say, my kids came from domestic adoption and Eastern European orphanages, so I can appreciate that trauma training piece. In fact, my husband and I had mentioned to you, are continuing our education with the Empowered to Connect Train the Trainer course. We know how crucial the training is. So, Ruby, before we wrap up today, share with us what is really on your heart that you want our listeners to walk away with today.
Wow, we need an hour, Sandra. there is orphanism everywhere, and that's a term that my husband coined in Bangkok a few years ago, but it has such deep meaning. Orphanism is that spirit, that orphan spirit that people carry, and even today, even the listeners that are listening to us, there are adults who are carrying that orphan spirit. And essentially, when we look at orphanism, it comes from what we believe three areas. One is that there's the UNICEF kind of definition of a child or a person who's not had their mother or father, has been removed from them in one way or another, maybe both. And that's a physical orphan. The second orphan is the emotional orphan. And that is a child who grows up in a home where there's the lack of love, there's lack of nurturance. They're really dismissed as a child, and they really grow up feeling alone and neglected. And the emotional orphan spirit, you know, exists in many, many people around the world today, including adults. And then the third orphan that we see in all of us were a spiritual orphan. And that is all of us that came into this world not knowing who our Heavenly Father was. And once that decision to follow Christ was made, we became a son and a daughter. And our heart is that every child will come to know their Heavenly Father, that they will become the sons and daughters of the Most High God and understand their preciousness as a little princess or a prince, and to be orphans no more. And if we go back to that orphanism, as that I just say, let orphanism be gone. And that would be the passion that I would hope to pass on to the listeners today.
So that would be really a world without orphanism.
A world without orphanism, that the spirit of orphanism is gone. One of the things that I'd really like to leave today with so that the listeners here would be the movement of the World Without Orphans. And the we have Cornerstone specifically, and it's the child, family, church, and movement. And sometimes it feels really big to other people, and as a result, they just don't know what to do. But anyone can do something, and everyone can do one thing. So looking at one idea, one potential family that they can work with, one child that they can come behind, and by doing something, the impact of one person doing one thing for one child, one family, it can make a huge, huge difference. Every child has value and has the right to holistic development. And every family desires to be healthy and to have well-being. And if the body of Christ would come behind all of those issues of children and families that are not feeling that sense of well-being, we can really make a difference, and we can end orphanhood. We can end orphanism. So I would just say, let's get on board with the movement. Let's just embrace it. It doesn't have to be anything big or splashy, but let's do something. It's the impact of one.
Amen to that. And that's, we talk a lot about that on this show, that you know, we were all orphans until we were adopted into God's family and became sons and daughters. So adoption is near and dear to God's heart. He came up with adoption. It's not a man-made thing. Adoption is a God-made thing. We were adopted into God's family. So I agree. I say amen to that. A world without orphans, physical orphans, emotional orphans, or spiritual orphans, and that everyone would come to know their Heavenly Father, who will never leave them or forsake them.
Right. Exactly.
I love that. So, Ruby, I just want to thank you so much for joining us today and for traveling the world, bringing trauma training to the nations. I'd love to see your passport. It's packed full, I'm sure.
I have to.
You have to see.
Oh, well, praise God. Thank you so much, Sandra.
Oh, well, thank you. And what is your, how can our listeners contact you or visit your website? What is your website?
The website is very easy. It's laminternational.org. And then we have a blog, probably a little more up to date, and that is laminternational.blogspot.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. So if you would like to learn more about the work of Ruby and Lynn Johnston, you can visit their website. As Ruby shared, it's LAMB, L-A-M-B, as in Lamb of God, right? Yes. LAMBInternational.org, or check out their blog, which is LAMBInternational.blogspot.com. I would also like to remind our listeners that Orphan Sunday is just 4 short months away. Get it on your church calendar now for details, free resources, all kinds of good stuff to make Orphan Sunday super simple, and it doesn't cost anything to do it. Go to orphansunday.org to learn more. Again, I'm Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans, and if you would interested in having me come to your church here in New York to speak on the things that we talked about today, adoption, foster care, spiritual adoption, Orphan Sunday, any of that, feel free to visit our website, which is justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.